Hey everybody, it's Lee. I know we're heading into the off season, so we wanted to give a shout out to our title sponsor, NHL Sense Arena, one more time. And again, we have a coupon for $50 off an annual subscription when you use Hockey Never Stops at hockey.sensearena.com. I always like to remind everybody, I've been using this thing for 6 months and I'm just blown away, not just from the VR aspect of it and the virtual reality side of things, but the ability to give different perspectives of the game, whether I'm playing as a goaltender. And I got to admit, it is really hard, but it has really given me a perspective from that point of hockey, which has made me a better coach and a better ice hockey player. Or the skater modes, which help you work on cognitive skills and other things like heads-up play that you don't normally get to work on in a practice or a game. So I implore you to check it out. It helps us out. It helps them out. Support our title sponsor, NHL Sense Arena. Get $50 off an annual subscription when you use Hockey Never Stops at hockey.sensorina.com. Again, that's Hockey Never Stops. That's the code at hockey.sensorina.com. Check it out. And without further ado, enjoy this episode of Our Kids Play Hockey. Our guest today is the parent of five children who play hockey for multiple teams, who play for their schools, and she also has a full-time job, and she's also the manager of two of the teams, and she's amazing, and she will inspire you, and it's a great episode, and I cannot wait to share it for you. Desiree Hall joins us today on Our Kids Play Hockey, but before we dive into the episode, I want to remind you all the holidays are coming, and we've got a 20% discount code for you at hockeywraparound.com. when you use the code OKPH at checkout. Once again, hockeywraparound.com, hockeywraparound.com, hockeywraparound.com. Use the code OKPH and you get 20% off their top products in the industry, their hockey wraparound, which goes on the blade of the stick, youth, intermediate, senior sticks. It does not matter. It'll protect the blade so your kids can play with it outside without you fearing them losing all that money that you spend on those sticks. You can also check their patented dry stick technology, which attaches right to the hockey stick, which allows you to save space in your home or especially when you're on the road, get that gear dry in a space that's not going to be on the heater where it blows the air out in the room. It's really weird. And then you can't go in the room because the smell of the equipment. Those of you who have been on tournaments know exactly what I'm talking about. Again, OKPH at checkout, hockeywraparound.com. Get yourself that 20% discount, but also get yourself into this episode right now with Desiree Hall on Our Kids Play Hockey. Hello, hockey friends and families around the world, and welcome to another edition of Our Kids Play Hockey. I'm Lee Elias with Mike Benelli, and in true Our Kids Play Hockey form, we are bringing you a chat with another extraordinary hockey parent today. Desiree Hall is a mom and stepmom to five boys, 11-year-old Vincent, 10-year-old Brayden, 9-year-old John, and 7-year-old twins, Dylan and Jackson. And all of the boys play multiple sports, and four of them play ice hockey, some of them for multiple teams. She serves as the team manager for her twins' 8U Might team and for her 10-year-old's 10UAA team. And if that wasn't enough, she also serves on the board for her kids' school ice hockey club. And when she's not doing that full-time job, she's doing her actual full-time job as the upper school counselor at Malvern Preparatory School, which is a very good school nearby. And by the way, she also helps the hockey team out there when she can. She is also an associate therapist at Sandy Christensen Counseling. In addition to all of that, Des is also an incredibly health-conscious person, both physically and mentally, and I don't ever recall not having a conversation with you where you're not smiling, Des. I'll say that right now. I can tell you from reading all of that, that Mike and I are incredibly humbled that you're here. Welcome to Our Kids Play Hockey.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, trust me. The pleasure's all ours. Every time I read an intro like that, I'm like, I only have the two kids, and I have a lot of control over those two kids. You have five kids. So the first question, Dad, I don't even know where to start, is how the hell do you juggle all of this? Because I'm gonna reiterate again, multiple kids playing hockey, multiple teams within hockey, and then multiple sports outside of hockey with a full-time job.
Yeah, two technically
full-time with two full-time jobs. How do you even begin to manage that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that I'm like truly blessed with a really supportive spouse. He kind of fell into the hockey role because I introduced it to him. I've always had a love and passion for hockey, and he was very resistant to it at first, but once the other kids caught the bug, he was like, I guess here we are. And now he kind of just, I manage the schedule and I kind of point and say, go here, here, here. And we just divide and conquer.
You absolutely do. And I'll say this about your spouse, is he's always smiling too, right? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of this is just a positive kind of can-do attitude. And, you know, when stuff comes up, like, you know, disruptions or things you have to adapt to, you tend to kind of like let it shrug off and you figure it out, right? There's not a lot of woe is me in those situations. And this is from dealing with both of you. It's just find the solution, right?
Yeah. I feel like Chris is actually really good about finding solutions too. And we're both very carefree people in that, like, when something does come up, like you said, and we are kind of just like, well, here we are. How do we manage it?
Right. Right. There's just, you know what I always see with you guys is there's a little bit of a lack of ego in a good way, right? In the sense of you're doing a lot for the teams, you have the children you got to take care of, but at the end of the day, you realize that hockey, as much as we all love it, is not the be all end all end of the world, right? It's making sure the kids are smiling, making sure that you have some form of sanity and probably a lot of coffee, right? And just making sure from a day-to-day standpoint that you're keeping the priorities, which I'm going to ask you what yours are, but those are in sync, right? It's not just about go here, go there. I understand that's the organizational method, but the priorities are we're a family, right? Like, we want to make sure that we're keeping that in the forefront.
Yes, agreed. And, you know, you said Chris and I, there's a lack of ego, and that's only because Braden takes on all of the ego.
Well, that's a great segue. Braden is your 10-year-old. Why don't we talk about when did the kids get into hockey? Mm-hmm. Did you know then what you would be getting into?
Yeah. So we used to live in Virginia, right? And when we lived in Virginia, it was myself, Braden, and Dylan, and Jackson. This is before I met Chris and John and Vincent. And when we were in Virginia, I actually started him off at, like, learned to skate down there. And he played for kind of like an in-house kind of league down in Richmond, Virginia. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head right now. But that's where our love of hockey kind of started. Dylan and Jax were kind of just trucked along, you know, sat on the ice rink as they have become very accustomed to now. And then when we moved up here to Philadelphia, you know, I threw him into the Adams program. And that was honestly where we kind of shifted and everyone's love kind of came along from there. Because during COVID, right, like, Braden was still able to play hockey. You know, he had a mask on for periods of time, but he was the only one who was able to still play a sport. And all the other kids were kind of like, oh, why does he get to do all this? And we don't. And so everyone else kind of caught the bug from there because they saw that he was able to keep going.
Yeah, you know, what's amazing is I this is when I met you, Des, the first time was in that kind of Adams program, because mm-hmm. As you said, it was in the middle of COVID. And I remember the stress levels of that time of, like, do we wear masks? Do we not wear masks? We're around all these kids. But I remember Braden, and we're going to talk about all the kids, but I remember Braden because, and Mike, you'll appreciate this, Braden was the kid in Adams that would come up to me after every drill and after every practice and ask a lot of questions about how he could do it better. He would always say thank you. And again, look, this is not, I have to say this, I'm not looking down on any Adam that doesn't do that. I'm just saying it was very noticeable that he was coming up and asking questions. And he's turned into quite a good hockey player, right? He's always trying to learn. I won't comment on the ego. I mean, some of it he's earned, some of it probably he's understanding is not going to help him too much, but he has a pure love of the game. And yeah. I think that infectious love has spread now to the whole family because everyone's playing. And now I'm coaching your twins, which is another adventure in Mightland. I'll say that. but it's been really cool to see it sprout within the family. It's amazing how it's kind of organic like that.
Yeah. And I love how you framed it, where it's like it sprouted from him, where he does have such a love and desire and a passion for the sport. And the desire to learn and improve. I mean, he's either in the basement shooting pucks, he's in the backyard shooting pucks, constantly stick handling, like he's watching plays on YouTube and stuff. And he's just always striving to be better. And I think that his brothers all saw him passionate about this one thing and it just kind of came naturally. Like if he's doing it, like, why aren't we playing with him? You know? So you're right. It kind of sprouted.
Yeah, and you know what's cool about it, Des? This is something I admire about your family. And I this is a good lesson for everyone, including myself in a lot of ways, is that your son Braden has the itch. And for those of you listening, you know what I mean? It's just like she said, he's doing hockey 24/7. It's on his mind. I don't think the other kids share that to that same level, but that's absolutely okay. Yeah. And it's totally maintained. I have never heard you say, I probably never will, you know, well, Braden does it like this.
Right.
It's always been kind of an equal opportunity of like, no, we just share this game together. Your love of the game is not what we're basing the experience on. This is our family. We do this together. As I said, one of the boys does not play hockey, and that's absolutely okay. But can you comment on that kind of from a parenting role a little bit, that, you know, there's different levels of what the right word be here, maybe motivation or intention, but that is not the governing of whether we play or not.
Yeah. So Vincent, I would say when he, like I said, you know, he saw Brayden really passionate and he kind of decided that he wanted to try it. And we, you know, threw him into school league and that was awesome. We threw John into school league as well, who now plays soccer. Right. But like, he also wanted to try. But we went into it with the mindset of like, you want to try this, like nobody, we told all of them, no one has to have the same love, dedication, motivation as Brayden does. Like, it doesn't have to be a thing. If you, all of you were open to try it, we support all of you in what you want to, like all of your endeavors, but like nobody has to have this passion and drive that he does. But at the same time, if you do enjoy it and you are having fun doing it, of course we're going to support you and where you want to go with it. And I would say that like, Vincent has the love of the game and the passion to succeed and do better and improve himself. And we support him in, you know, kind of going along. But I would say he probably has a more mentality of like, this is fun. I love this. I'm having fun and I'm enjoying it. Whereas I'd say like Brayden is more of like a, this is my job kind of situation, you know? But again, like both of them are very different children and we support them in how they want to pursue it. So if like there is an extra opportunity to do off ice here and somebody wants to do it, but the other one doesn't, like, we're like, okay, how do we make it work for you? And what are we doing with you? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I love is I, from myself growing up, I was more of a Brayden where, you know, this is my job. And it's funny because when I see Vincent, and that's just the perfect description. Every time I see Vincent, who's the oldest, it's just, I'm just having so much fun. That's just the attitude. I'm scoring goals and I'm having fun. I remember, that's how he talks. And I wish I had more of that type of mentality a little bit.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, I did get it as I grew up. And what I mean, like, I mean, really grew up, like in my 20s, I started to understand like, oh yeah, hockey's supposed to be fun. Yeah. Right. Like it was just very serious. But I love that that juggles in your house. The other thing too, is that having played the game, and this is something, again, I admire you and all the parents in your situation. I really mean this, is that there's no pressure, but having played the game, there's this awareness with my own kids of, well, if they don't love it, you know, they might not play it, but I can't put that pressure on them.
Right.
And I had to learn, especially from watching the other parents of, you know, hey Lee, just back off. You know, you don't need to do that. Let them naturally find the love. And they have, both of my kids have found that, especially over the last, 12 months. But that's another thing I want to share with people listening. Cause I know there's people out there listening who have played the game and they feel that, like, again, I don't know quite sure how to describe the words.
Like a bug.
It's like I played. So you want them to love it, but there's this reminder from people in your situation that, you know, it's okay. No matter what, the purest form is just to enjoy the game. And should they not be serious or having fun? Like, it's the path, right? You just got to walk that, or skate that path, I guess we'd say on this show.
Skate that path. Yeah. And like, just meet the children where they're at, you know, like Dylan and Jackson, like they are at a point where they're trying to find what they love in general, and it might not be hockey, and we fully support that. We're like, this is what they've been asking to do, probably naturally because their brothers do it and they're surrounded by it, but like this might not be what they want to do ultimately, and we're totally okay with that, versus like a Brayden and a Vincent who have that drive and passion and they want to do it and they love it and stuff. And you know, just meeting them where they're at is probably really important. And I will say, one of the most important things that Chris says to the boys before they step on the ice is like, what are the two most important things for you to remember? And they always say, have fun and do your best. And that's where they, like, that's where their mentality has to be when they step on the ice, whether it's a Brayden and a Vincent or a Dylan or a Jackson. Like, we don't care how many goals you score. We just want to make sure that you're having fun and doing your absolute best.
Yeah. We had a really popular episode titled, you know, three things you should say to your kids before they step on the ice, and really mean them. And that was one of them. right, is just to remind them at the end of the day, you're not being judged on your performance. You're being, you know, judged is probably not the right word, but, you know, are you having fun? Are you working hard? Because those translate well beyond hockey at the end of the day. So I love that. And again, it's so visible the way you both parent the children. And it's so refreshing. And you know, Mike, I'll throw it to you too. And Des, you've seen this too. We've been around rinks all around the East Coast and beyond. And we've seen parents not do that. We've seen parents do the opposite of that, which is always scary. But Mike, I want to bring you in here because I'm hogging all the airtime here.
No, I'm just listening. Yeah. I mean, it's nice to see a parent that, you know, obviously you've invested family in hockey and just a culture of hockey, which is difficult in itself. But no, I think that's anybody that's in the sport, you know, that's really what the people that help run these sports, right, aspire to have is passionate parents that are well grounded in the virtues of what the sport can bring to your kids, and then with no strings attached. Like there's no end game. Hopefully, you know, there's no okay. Well, this is what we're doing this week because we're going to end here, because we see that in a lot of parents, and frankly, you know, no, like me, you know, where I've seen the kids is sometimes that, you know, that end game, which we all think is crazy, ends up being, you know, a pretty big deal. Like it ends up being an end game, and the kids end up being sign a pro contract or go to a Division I school, but you watch all the carnage that goes into that. And you forget that when these kids are 8 or 9 years old, it's so different in getting your kids to the end game. You know, that we fail to realize that, you know, it's not just a one child, there's families involved with a lot of moving parts. And if one child is excelling, you know, from an administrative point of view, you have to almost be like, okay, well, yeah, that's great. That's that one kid in this whole other world, there's a whole ecosystem of, you know, what surrounds that kid. So it sounds like you guys have found a way to balance that pretty well. So it's great.
Yeah. I will say it is challenging in that, like, Brayden is, as a 10U AA player, has a little bit more of an intense schedule than his brother Vincent, who is 12UB Peewee. And when I say intense, you know, it's like there's more, whether it's off ice, there's an extra day of practice, there's at least one, maybe two more games per weekend. And so sometimes it can definitely feel like we are committing more time to him. But what we try and focus on, at least with the kids and the message that we're sending them, is that everybody's getting what they need. Mm-hmm. And so while Brayden, you know, needs some of these things, Vincent also needs these things, right? And we always make sure that everybody is getting what they need, because they try and focus on fair. And like, it's not fair. Brayden gets another ice time or whatever. And we're like, well, he needs extra ice time. He has an extra game this weekend. You know what I mean? So focusing solely on that everybody's getting what they need, and we love all of you equally. That's kind of where we have to always like remind them, but it's not easy. Like, of course, they all see him getting more attention, more time, more travel, more tournaments, more showcases, all the things. But at the end of the day, reminding them that they all get what they need is where we have to be.
It's a great way of wording it, Des. You know, I've actually haven't heard it like that. Hey, we're getting what you need, or you're getting what you need. It's funny, a little dilemma that happened to me yesterday. Keep in mind, I only have the two kids, but this is the first year they've both been playing. And this is why I'm so thankful for my wife. So my daughter, who plays with the twins, had an 8U game at 5:30. And then both my daughter and son had an elementary school game at 6:30 at a different rink. And you talk about the onus on different teams. So my brain, kind of as a coach, naturally started going towards that elementary school game where the score matters, you know, they keep score in their standings. And my brain went, as a coach, like, well, you know, you need to be there. Right. And then, you know, my wife came in, Janet, who again keeps me even keeled. She goes, no, you committed to that 8U team as well. You need to be there, and you can drive over after. I remember I had this little war in my head for a few minutes where I was like, but, and I kind of came to, like, no, she's right. I made a commitment. I can't just do that. And I have to get Alina to the other game. It all worked out, but it's a thing. It's a real thing. Like you gotta check yourself and look at things and look at situations and understand that, you know, like you said, divide and conquer is a very, very big part of this.
Yeah.
And I do want to reiterate to the audience, I have seen Des come in with 4 of the kids, 2 of the kids. All right. I mean, it's just, you never know who's going to show up at some of these practices. But we always love seeing them, right? Because it's that you can see the family vibe come in. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to bring that up again because, yeah, sometimes you got to check yourself and figure, is everybody getting what they need,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think that that's a very good gauge for anybody listening about that. That, you know, if your kid is on a AAA tier one team and you have a kid on a B team, you got to be careful with that,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the value of the child is not based on how many letters or what the letter is Absolutely. After their team.
Yeah.
So one of the things I wanted to pivot to on this episode is I have been very spoiled with team managers so far in my youth hockey journey. Now, when I played, I remember the managers, but I was always seeing that from a player point of view. When I started in the game, you were really the first manager that I had to deal with. And I'm going to tell you, I could tell right away, the games were scheduled. Everything was organized. Our team snap was updated right away. There was no issues from a coaching standpoint with you as a manager, mm-hmm. right? I mean, so you set a really, really high bar now for anyone who's managing any of the teams I'm working with, which is great because we have high standards on this show. But what I do want to ask you, because
mm-hmm.
I'm sure we have a lot of team managers that actually listen to this show. And I'm going to reiterate, you have a, what was it? It's 11, 10, 9. You skipped 8, but had twins that are 7. So we'll kind of say that that's even. Multiple teams, you're a manager on multiple teams. There's the school, there's the work, and you do a really, I'm going to say this again, really good job as a manager.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Right. So let's just talk about the mentality behind that, what you do to be successful in that role, and then any tips you can share with the audience that have helped you find ease with scheduling or any of it. Cause it's a big role.
Yeah, it is. Man, so I am very organized. I live and die by my calendar. It is color coded. It's got reminders all the time. And so, and even like with my phone, like I set reminders for myself. If I'm in the middle of something and I'm like, oh, I just remembered I have to do something for Team Snap for this team or whatever. Like I will say, like, I'll set a reminder for myself. So I have a running list of things that I always have to do. And creating contacts like for each team was always helpful when I started. So like when I started managing mites, and I was reaching out to people and scheduling games, I created a contact list for myself just in a Google spreadsheet or whatever. So that way it was easier for me to keep track of who I had reached out to, who I was, reaching out to about games, who I was scheduling games with, things like that. But honestly, like, I feel like I just kind of tackle everything and put out the fires whenever I need to. I don't know that there's any like logistics or like rhyme or reason to what I do. I think I'm just such an organized person that like organizing a team kind of just makes sense to me, if that makes sense.
Well, you know, it's funny, like when I find good managers that we end up getting, you know, at the youth hockey level, it's a lot of it's self-serving. It's like, okay, I'm going to have the busiest life there is. So I have to make sure this works for everyone because it works for me. Like, yeah. I look at, like, for me, you know, I have to be organized with my teams and I have to have good managers because my life is crazy. And I'm like, well, if I'm going to make my life even crazier, if on Friday I'm calling around and I can't find the person I scheduled the game with on Saturday and I don't remember what the time was, or they couldn't get a hold of me, or, you know, and you see all these, most managers get found right through somebody emailing them a random, hey, would you, where's so-and-so from this place? And our My Hockey Rankings is this, would you play us on this weekend? And you have to keep track of all these kind of things. Cause you're getting, you know, emails and coaches saying, hey, we should play this team. Hey, can you schedule that? Or can you handle that? And so I always found like the best managers that I've had are the ones that, you know, whether it's more self-serving. It's like, oh yeah, I want my life to be easy. I'm going to make sure this is covered so that I'm, you know, I can be a normal parent, you know, because I've been proactive in putting this schedule together, and parents, you know, really, really appreciate it. And the ones that don't appreciate it are the ones that have never had to schedule anything. Like usually it's the ones that are like, you know, they have one kid and they're not that serious about whatever they're in. And they just think, oh, well, doesn't that just happen? Like, doesn't that 45 game schedule just happen? No, it doesn't. Cause I mean, I don't know how your organization is, but most organizations don't get like a Saturday 2:30 home slot. Right. So it's always like, like trying to, you know, that would be life. That would be great for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, oh, every Saturday at 2:30, we have a home game. Great. But when you get into this crazy world of travel hockey, you don't even know what state you're in, you know? So it's almost like, okay, well, who's going to manage all that? And I think youth organizations should really reflect and understand, you know, how much goes into, you know, what their, you know, for lack of really their free support staff does for them.
Yeah.
It makes life so much easier.
And I, like you said, like for me, I think I took it on initially before like that sense of control, right? Like my life is super busy. So if I take on the scheduling aspect of it, then I can make sure it works for my life. And then, you know, as we then got into Braden's schedule of 10UAA, again, I'm like, well, we're stepping it up a notch. I think I need to take this on so I can make sure that I can manage the schedule in a way that works for everybody. And I will say that one of the most important things for me as a manager, it is to always remember that I'm doing what's in the best interest of the team. And so anytime I have like a question of like, oh, this is a time slot that probably doesn't work for Braden or whatever, and I'm managing my might team or whatever, I always have to remind myself like, well, but this is in the best interest of my might team. And so it doesn't really matter what Braden's doing. And so I have to, it's a very big like mind shift all the time of managing my different roles, but always focusing on what's in the best interest of the team, what's going to be the most fun for the team, what's going to serve them well and progress them and help with their development.
Yeah. And there's a ton of listeners that will be that hear us and incorporate with, you know, that go back and forth with us. And I'll tell you, I know right now I can name you five managers or five organizational leaders that don't think that way. They go, oh, my other team has a game, so I'm going to cancel that game Saturday for that team's game. Like, well, what the hell? Then we don't have no game on Saturday. I know your kid's playing on two teams, but why is my team less important than this team? So it's a hard juggling act. It's like, okay, well, you know, we have a family outing. Well, I don't care. I don't have a family outing, you know, so it's just a matter of saying, like, as a manager, I'm managing this for 18 families or whatever it is, not my family. But I've always fallen on the side of, but yes, but the person who's managing it gets the benefit of the doubt. The person that managing it gets at least to say, have an input and say, hey, listen, if we could get a 4 o'clock game instead of a 1 o'clock game, could we do that here? Like, that's just because somebody has to do it, right? You can't just throw it out and say, okay, hey, good luck finding games.
Yeah.
And, you know, and for all of us that have parents, you know, that are parents of teams that have really great managers that, you know, find us hotels, you know, get us the best place to have dinner as a team, find a way to get the kids, you know, team building exercise or stuff outside of the sport, find a way to understand that it's so-and-so's birthday coming up and somebody wants to organize something outside the rink. It's a huge benefit for that. And I think a lot of us forget how much goes into those people that do those things for us, because it's not about just, you know, sending a check to the youth organization and hopefully the season goes well, you know, then we talk about on this show all the time about the need to be organized and communicate and the more communication that can happen and the more organization that can happen, the happier everyone is.
Yeah. And I'd say building healthy relationships with the coach always is really important, because if I know what my coach needs and what my coach wants, then I know what I need to schedule and also, like, you know, what I need to do for the kids between like team building and things like that too. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And that's it. You're absolutely right. Like, knowing, and then I think I'm assuming you probably have a good support group of parents around you too. Like, if they say, you know, Desiree's doing all this work, can I help? And I think the managers that fail are the ones like, oh, no, I've got it. Don't worry about it. I can handle it all. You know, and all of a sudden they're like, well, you just missed, you know, we're not doing, you know, why are we missing all this stuff? But, you know, it's that ability to delegate. And I think most parents, because when the hands go up, right, and when somebody's in the room and say, hey, well, who wants to be the manager this year? Every finger goes under your butt, right? Everybody's just like, please don't raise your hand. Please don't raise your hand. You know, so, and I'm always the one that, like, I'm at the meeting, like, oh, you know, Mike will do that. I'm like, no, I wasn't even there. Like, I shouldn't have to do this. But I think it's just a matter of, you know, if you're going to be a parent on a team that has a great manager, step up and just do one thing. Cause you're not, you know, I think what people get fearful of is I'm volunteering to do all of this.
Yeah.
Well, you're not. If you can help me, you just have to do a little tiny little bit.
Yeah, I'm really good at delegating and like asking people to take on something. So I can recognize my boundaries and my limits of like, I can't handle all of these things. And if I want to create a better experience for my kids, for the skaters, then this is what I need from this person. And I can say like, hey, can you do this, 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 and this? And I give them a marching order and then let them march.
Yeah, Des, I'll say a few things on this. So I'm going to go back to something you said a few minutes ago that you always put the team first. I want to reiterate that to the listeners, just like Mike did. This goes actually beyond management, right? Everyone, from an adult standpoint, hoping everyone's an adult, when all the parents and the managers and the coaches have that mindset, you're going to have a great season, even if you don't win a game, all right? When you put the team first and you understand what that means as a group, you are going to have a good season. Now, I have been on teams where the opposite of that has happened, and it is almost always devastating. People are almost always unhappy, right? You're already going to have people unhappy, even if you do put the team first, mm-hmm. right? So it's like you said, Mike, like sometimes the ego can get in the way. And Des, I've seen you in positions where you're putting the team first, not necessarily yourself. And it's frustrating, mm-hmm. But you do it and you understand that part of the role. And I think that by and large, to the audience, that is such an important part of it, especially as a coach. And again, my wife had to check me on this the other night, right? It's like, I was kind of putting what I wanted ahead of the team, and God bless her. She's like, no, that team has to come first tonight. And mm-hmm. she was right. So I always mentally check myself with that as a coach, as a parent, you know, as a person in business, whatever you want to do, that is the team coming first. I would say team, teammate, self. Mike, quick tip for you. Anytime someone asks you to do something, you can use this great excuse. You're like, oh no, I run a podcast. And people won't know what to say. It's great.
Hey,
you
oh, I say, go ahead. If you're gonna volunteer for that, I might call you out on this thing. So I said, don't put me in a bad situation and I have to tell them you don't do anything.
You're using the podcast to threaten people. I love it.
No, but it's just like, you know, and again, I think the problem is too, is most people that are in these positions of volunteerism and help out and managing and support the Halloween dance and help with the PTA and help, it's all the same people. So what happens is if you don't get other people to support you, like there's always like, I run a lacrosse organization and I have the same three people that always like, you know, throw the grenade in the room, close the door and like, hey, good luck. I'm like, what do you do? Oh, we should do this. Yeah. Where have you been for 6 months? I said, yeah, we'd love to do that. Yeah, why don't you do it? I don't have the time to do it. I have kids. I got other things. My kid plays for here. I go, yeah, well, exactly. I think that's, you know, we're all in the same boat. So having the thick enough skin to understand that piece of this as well. And B, you know, to what your point is, Ezra, you know, really trying to say, listen, I'm sure there's moments where you're like, okay, get a breathe here for a second. I know the emails are flying, the text messages are going back and forth. Let me get ahead of this and put this thing out so that we don't, like Lee said, all of a sudden when all the, you know, oars aren't rowing the same way, that's mm-hmm. when we're getting, you know, teeter tottering all the time. But I think if you get more people, the more I've always viewed it as the more people helping me, and the more people that I can delegate out to, it's more people that understand that everything they do affects all of us, as mm-hmm. opposed to one person just coming in and saying, hey, I think we should do this. You're absolutely right. Let's do it. And now that person that says, oh, whoa, I don't have time for that, Mike. Okay. Well, then we're probably not going to do that project. But yeah. I think it's just really difficult in the youth hockey world, because I think this stems to where we talk a lot about the professionalization of youth sports. You know, people forget that, you know, we don't have full-time, you know, equipment managers and travel secretaries and
they're called
all
parents.
This kind of stuff that goes on. I mean, everybody's like, oh, we should get tackle 12 third jerseys for the upcoming cancer weekend game. Yeah, that's great. But that's a huge project. Like, that's not a little project. So, yes, if you could help us with that and be the leader of that little tiny piece of what we do for the season, what a great thing that will be. But again, just I caution people to start, you know, be careful about how you're critiquing what's happening in the internal workings of organizations when you're not willing to step in and help, because there is nobody to you know, take that mantle.
Yeah.
So that's my soapbox. So don't call me. But if you want to help, call me up.
I've seen I love the metaphor, Mike. I've seen people throw a grenade into the room with Des, but she kind of catches it and throws it right back.
Right.
I've seen that happen metaphorically.
Or in her case, yeah. Probably jumping on it. You know, like, okay, let me. Yeah. I'm going to save everyone in the room.
And yeah, I think she's done that too.
That happens all the time. Yeah. I mean, how many times a little text message saying, "Oh, you know, so and so said that my son should be playing on this kid's line. Don't you think that?" And like, okay, end the text message right there. Yeah. I've got to get out of this because I'm not going to comment on that. If you would like to know what hotel we're staying at in Pittsburgh, yes, I'll help you with that.
I'm not going to help gossip.
I'm not going to help you with who's going to be on the power play. That's, you know, go see coach, you know, about that. And
you're
I think
in
that
the coach's ear, right, Des? You can make this happen.
You have contact with him every day, don't you? No, he's no way to get a hold of him.
There's a tournament in San Jose that I heard all the best players are going to. Can we do that? Des, one more thing I want to jump into. Before we get to the end of this is just, and Mike kind of brought it up, just generic kind of advice here for everybody from a managerial role, the importance of communication, because as I always say, 10 out of 10 problems, all of them involve poor communication. Mm-hmm. And I think from a manager's standpoint, it's everything, right? The ability to communicate good ideas, bad ideas, you know, using your organizational units like TeamSnap or whatever people are using. Can you just talk about the importance of communication, maybe how often people should be communicating and how to communicate ideas when you do have them?
Yeah. So I think what's interesting is that sometimes people take on a manager role and they don't realize that, like, they assume that everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing. So I always assume that everybody I'm speaking to has never played hockey, has never had a kid that's played hockey, has no idea what they're doing. So when my communications go out, and they're typically, at least at the might level, like they're typically weekly, it's, you know, here, this is the rink that we're at. This is an away game. It's at this time. It's at this rink. We're wearing this jersey. Mm-hmm. This person's bringing a snack, you know, whatever it is. Again, and every single week, it's the same communication, just so that they are aware, you know. And again, I'm just assuming that everybody has no idea what the hockey world is like, that I'm the only one who's crazy enough to have all of these things memorized.
No, I think that's short, but really good advice. And I think a lot of times, and this is true across the board, I'm not just talking about team managers, it's true for coaching too, that, you know, we don't want to offend people by thinking that they may or may not know something. And I always say, move that ego aside. Mm-hmm. And like you're saying, assume they don't know anything, mm-hmm. right? I want all the information, right?
Information is always better.
No, then you got to deal with the people who don't read. Like the email I just got this morning was, we're going to wear white jerseys to this game. And the next text message was, what color jerseys are we wearing to these games? Like,
the blue ones. You should just throw it to the, our third jersey that you don't have.
But it's funny. You're actually right. I think that, you know, I don't know, dumbing it down is not the right word, but having a formal weekly same, you know, the same way it's presented every week. Like, I love that. I love knowing that, okay, if I'm going to get an email or text chain, or it's going to be, okay, game is, I'm not searching through wondering like all the different information. I know time, date, place, what, where, when, boom, thank you. Move on. And then, you know, I save that in my calendar on my phone, and then everything's right there in one place. I'm not searching through the seven different emails that went out that week about the game. And I think that's huge. You know, I personally can't understand how anybody only works off of email anymore in sports. Like, I don't know how, I don't know how anybody can't work off an app that gives all that. Cause once you change it, it's changed right forever. There's no like other like scheduling in there. It's like, no, this is like, are we following this schedule or that schedule? We're following, you know, Desiree's schedule. We're following the schedule I put out is the one you have to find. And I think the more you do that, and the more you gain trust in your parents, and you get the reputation that you're not going to mess it up, people stop questioning it, right? Because I can't tell you how many times, you know, people will be, I'll see in youth organization all the time, and it'll just even be about where the rink is and what rink is in. And then I went to a rink one time in the wrong state because it was the same name rink. And I made the mistake of not, as the coach, I'm like, well, I'm not going to, why would I even like look this up? Like, of course they're giving me the name and they're giving me the place. And then in my mind, I'm going, it's just so odd that game would be so far away. And then here I am driving to the game and we go there like, no, that's the rink in Honeydale or something. I'm like, what? You know, so it's great to have a good manager that understands, you know, consistency and having that information out there. That's almost too much information if you're a quote unquote hockey person. If you're not, if you're just somebody that has to have the nanny drive them, you just cut and paste all that information. It's all there. You know, nothing gets messed up, or the grandparents have to pick them up. It's like everything's right there. There's no mm-hmm. questions asked.
And I just like to be transparent, honestly, because I feel like it's hockey is an expensive sport, and parents are putting a lot of time and effort into their kids' schedules. And so the more information, the more that they know that they're getting what they're paying for, essentially. Mm. It's a team manager role can sometimes be like a very customer service driven role. And so I always have to keep in mind, like, these are my customers and I need to keep them happy.
That's an incredible point of view that, in my opinion, I don't think a majority of managers think that way. I'm not saying they don't care, but I think that it's just a perspective I haven't heard before. Which I really appreciate you sharing, because that makes me think, right? And I also want to put in perspective for the listeners, Mike, you actually just made me remember this. So just a trip down memory lane, what it used to be like as a manager before email, because I remember this. And Des, this might shock you in the sense of how we used to do this, but you would get a big packet at the beginning of the season with all the games and all of the rinks and hopefully some directions to those rinks from major highways. But I remember that if there was a change, we had the phone chain, and the manager would call two people, and then it would go down the line and we'd all have to call. Like, we had a responsibility as families to call the next person on that phone chain. Wow. To make sure that information got out, and that had to be done in a timely manner. And so if there was a last second change, it got hectic really quick.
Yeah, but you only had one game a month, so it wasn't that big a deal. Like, now you have seven games.
I had way more than one game a month.
But it's crazy. It's like, you look at the way we brought this on ourselves, right? I mean, you need the technology, because you're like, well, normal people only go to a soccer game on Sunday at 11. That's what a normal human being does. Yeah. They don't go to seven games over the weekend in seven different rinks. So I think it's like, you know, and then you go to a tournament, forget it. If this was normal,
we wouldn't have the podcast. What are you doing?
I can't imagine what you would have done 20 years ago if a tournament schedule got changed like on a Thursday. Like, people are on the road driving the north way.
It's not like there's cell phones. You know, this isn't that long ago. We didn't have the cell phones we had today. That's right. Great. So you would just get there and have to figure it out.
I coached 3 years of college hockey without a cell phone. I go to rinks where a kid wasn't even playing. But like, I travel 4 hours to go to a game. Like, oh no, he got in trouble in school today. His guidance counselor said they can't play. I'm like, what? What do you mean he can't play? I'm all the way up here. I'm in Waterville, Maine right now. Okay, who's next? Who is playing?
I can see Mike with the flip phone pulling the antenna out and just, you know, minutes of battery here.
I had the box phone. I had it with a big box. And you had to start it up.
Yeah, you look like you're in Wall Street. Des, last question from me. I always like to bring this up. We're obviously talking about managerial roles, and we're talking about you as a mom, but I want to talk about you as a professional too. And one of the reasons I love bringing on guests like you, is, aside from the standard, it really does put things in perspective, because you have a full-time job. Like you said, two of them, really.
Oh, you're not the manager of the youth hockey organization?
She doesn't even get paid for that. No, she gets paid in like snacks once in a while.
Oh, I was laughing when you said, you know, the parents expect this. I'm like, yeah, but the parents don't even know you don't get paid, I don't think. Or they
do. Yeah. No. We're broke. She does not get paid. No, but I will say this, that you are just as tremendous as a professional as you are as a manager, right? And I have watched the other thing I didn't say in the intro. I watched you go through schooling. During mm-hmm. all of this too, which it's like throw that on top of it, right? So I just want you to express maybe some thoughts or advice for all of us as professionals as we kind of pursue that, because there's definitely young parents listening here that are trying to pursue a career as well. And it's very, very hard to juggle the professional world and hockey, because you tend to want to be at both or not. Yeah. And again, I watched you do that, and you did it well, and you're working in a really prestigious school now. Mm-hmm. So could you just maybe share a little bit of thoughts on that?
Yeah. So I've always had, you know, like the drive and the passion to want to, work with kids. I work as a child and adolescent therapist. And so, I've always wanted to help when it comes to mental health with kiddos. And so I feel like, as much as I love hockey and I wish hockey could be my full-time job, that passion was always just a tad bit more. And so I did go through schooling during COVID, and managed to, you know, finish my licensure test and things like that. And it was all challenging, but again, I was driven because I had such a passion for it. And I feel like, you know, anything that you truly have a passion for, you're kind of going to work towards. And that speaks both to hockey and my profession. So.
Yeah. We don't even need to be talking about hockey with that one. Like you just said, right. It's yeah. true. That is a truth that if you want to pursue something, you're going to find a way to do it.
Yeah.
And I think it's also important that, you know, we showcase people like you, because I think sometimes in life, there's a lot of negativity and things of like, there's no point. I can't do it. If you want it, you can do it. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that again, you're a highlight of that for not just me, but for our listeners. Yeah, again, Mike starts these episodes frowning. Now he's smiling. That's how these work every week. There's that smile, Mike. Again, fantastic interview. I'm going to throw one more question in, because I wrote this down. I'm looking at this note. You said earlier in the episode, I think this is actually really important, about meeting kids where they're at. And I've heard that many times. And I think that it's a thought that needs to be expressed and explained a little bit more, because the more I dove into understanding that, the better of a coach and dad and person I became. Mm-hmm. Because people say, hey, meet the kids where they're at.
Yeah.
Can you describe what that actually means? Because I think that's a really important point.
Yeah. It's interesting because it actually pulls in both my profession and my hockey life, right?
So like perfect place to end then.
as a therapist, you know, I can have a kid sit in front of me and, you know, maybe their parent, typically parents are the ones who sign kids up for therapy, and like their parent feels like their child is just super angry or whatever. But then the kid sits in front of me and they're not necessarily angry. They're actually sad. Trying to identify like where the child is versus what the parents' expectations are or what the parents' dreams or goals or wants are, really, it is where as a professional, I have to kind of be. I have to ask those questions and really focus on what it is that the child wants, the child needs, the child is dreaming of. And so when I meet a child where they're at in my profession, I can help them become better and empower them to be the best versions of themselves. And I think that goes for hockey too. And in our family, like, we have this conversation almost all the time with where our kids are at in their endeavors. You know, and Braden is very much a driven, like, this is where I want to be. I have dreams of this college and I'm playing for this NHL team and all of those things. Right. And so how can I help you reach those goals versus John, who loves soccer and is totally enjoying, you know, his club team and stuff. And we, you know, we ask him where he wants to go with it and he doesn't really know, and that's okay. And so kind of just like, again, meeting them where they're at, but asking those questions. Like, if you don't ask and you just, as a parent, have your own assumptions and your own goals and your own dreams, and you're pushing all of that on your kid, none of that's going to be fun for anybody, honestly. And so when you ask those questions, not only do you get to know your kid more, but you also help them get to know themselves more. And isn't that like what parenting is all about?
Well, it should be. And you know, what I love about your answer, and this is something like, as I evolve as a coach over 20 plus years, understanding that I might be that person for a kid or a young player, that I'm not their parent and they might feel comfortable talking to me or asking me questions that with their parents not there, they wouldn't normally ask. And I have to meet them where they're at. Mm-hmm. Right. And I also understand, as a parent, the freedom and the importance of that freedom there is for that child to be able to go to another adult and express themselves. Now, I always want to be that for my kids, mm-hmm. but you know, this is where I have to remember being a kid. And I didn't always want to talk to my parents about everything going on. Right. I wanted to talk to somebody else. So I think multiple levels to what you just said, that we have to remember, especially in youth sports, period. Mm-hmm. Actually, this goes beyond sports, but just to meet these kids where they're at and understanding that sometimes it's important to ask questions, then just listen, mm-hmm. and maybe not say too much and just understand that, you know, I understand that that's how you feel today.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a whole nother episode in that, in the mental side of the game, but I wanted to dive into that because it's an important aspect of life and mentorship, of meeting kids where they're at. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we do that enough as adults.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Mike, do you have any final questions? I was loving this episode. This has been great so far.
No, it's great advice. And if you could get, like I said, if you could, I think that's what some of the beauties about having your kids play with adults in sport, right? Is that you hope that if they can't talk to you, that they could talk to them. They're you know, our kids are around these coaches sometimes almost as much as the parents.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's like, you know, just have, and then I think as a parent, you know, finding that coach that you can trust, you know, I don't, not, you know, not in a weird way, just trust that they can be, they'll be good. They're going to be a good person and trust that they're going to be like, I know my high school kids used to hate me because I would always hear them like, oh, so-and-so's going out of town. He's having a party. And I'd be like the first one calling a parent, be like, hey, listen, just by the way, you're going to have 20 hockey kids in your house on Friday night. And you might want a heads up. Now my kids are like, oh, this is BS. And what the hell's wrong with this guy? He's a narc and that. I'm like, yeah, well, I said, I get it. But I said, that's my job. If I hear it, I got to react to it. And do I like doing that? No, but I also don't want to wake up Saturday morning and hear a kid, you know, wrapped his car around a tree. So right. I think it was all like, for me, it was more about like the trust that guys, you know, or if you don't want me to tell your parents, then come see me about what maybe some good options might be for you. Now, mm-hmm. if you're going to tell me you're going to get stoned and drunk, then I'm probably going to be like, oh, that's a great option, you know, but yeah. tell me what you think you're accomplishing by this and what you want to do. And then let's go back and let's discuss what your goals were at the beginning of the year and where you wanted to be at the end of the year. Do those two things mesh? If they don't mesh, then maybe this isn't the right environment for you. Right. So I think as our kids get older and they're with coaches, that's, you know, that's one of the reasons I, you know, and Desiree, you know, you're probably in a great spot at the prep school, is that the kids are in there kind of a long-term play. Like they're not in there for 5 months, like in youth hockey. In youth hockey, we see the kid for, you know, 4, 5, 6 months at the most. Like you get to, you know, see these kids, you know, through their maturation process.
Mm-hmm.
That's a word, but it's just a matter of like seeing them in a place where you watch them grow and the coaches become so influential in that growth because they have them for such a longer period of time and in and out of the classroom and in and out of social aspects of life. That's why, you know, these school programs are so important, I think, because it allows all the other adults in the room to be a part of that player's maturation process and their growth, as opposed to just a crazy hockey coach and mm-hmm. a crazy hockey dad. And yeah. you put them together and they're gonna push this kid in a direction that maybe is not the healthiest for that child. And yeah. you know, so what you're doing is great, and I'm sure you have a lot of challenges within that environment, but I think it's so important for parents to see, you know, why those environments are so important for a lot of our kids.
Mike, I want to let you know, I looked it up and maturation is a word. So
okay, good. All right, good.
Here. And you said it correctly. So okay, that's,
good. So I'm
the word of the day on our kids play hockey.
finally.
Des, this has been a great interview. I would say five kids, 2.5 managerial roles, full-time jobs, audience. Like, what's your excuse? joking aside, look, it motivates me. It's inspiring to me and Mike as well to see someone in your position and to do it with such a huge heart. I really mean that. I noticed that about you from the day I met you. You really care. You really care about these kids. You care about the families. You care about your own family. And you're just trying to do the best job you can do. I don't know what more we can ask for, right? As coaches, as parents, as people in the game. So, Des, I want to thank you for coming on today. This has been a wonderful interview.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for this edition of Our Kids Play Hockey. Remember, Des, remember that anytime you're having a hard day, unless you have more than five kids. That's going to do it. All the episodes available on OurKidsPlayHockey.com. Make sure to share this in your team snaps or wherever you do it. We've been talking about this, especially your team managers. I think, again, inspirational episode. Kind of let us know that we're all in this together. It takes a village, people. All right. So, again, all the episodes available at OurKidsPlayHockey.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. You have a wonderful week. We'll see you on the next Our Kids Play Hockey. Take care, everybody. We hope you enjoyed this edition of Our Kids Play Hockey. Make sure to like and subscribe right now if you found value wherever you're listening, whether it's a podcast network, a social media network, or our website, OurKidsPlayHockey.com. Also, make sure to check out our children's book, When Hockey Stops, at WhenHockeyStops.com. It's a book that helps children deal with adversity in the game and in life. We're very proud of it. But thanks so much for listening to this edition of Our Kids Play Hockey, and we'll see you on the next episode.